the first year on Shara Bitochon in the winter of Tavshin Ayin Vav. In fact, it's the first year of Shara Bitochon of Tavshin Ayin Vav. And we're up to... Okay, so we're doing Chavis HaVav, this Shara Bitochon. We're in Paragimel. And Paragimel talks about the five prerequisites. The five prerequisites that are necessary to be Kone Bitochon. Bitochon is not something you have simply, you know, you say, oh, I have Bitochon in Hashem. It's a very difficult thing, because when push comes to shove, it's very difficult. And then there's different, it's a spectrum. The spectrum, where do you stand on the spectrum of Bitochon? And that will determine the amount of ishtadlus that you're going to do, and it won't be considered contradictory to Bitochon. It depends where you're up to. So yeah, this is all avoda. It's avoda. It's a workbook. Chavis HaVav, I've said many times, it's not a musa sefer. It's a workbook. And you have to do the work. If you want to be Kone the Mida, this class, this shir, is just learning Chavis HaVav. We're going to say in a second what we're up to. I said already, Shara Bitochon Paragimel, I think. And it has the five hakdamas in it, and I'm explaining that these are just tools. What I want to accomplish with this class is the only thing I can accomplish. I can't give you bitachon. We can learn together the tools with which you can have bitachon. Baruch Mechaim Mason, Baruch Rofi Cholim. I'm sorry? No, we weren't. There's an office downstairs. She says she's there till 12:30. I'm out of the picture. You spoke to the secretary? I'm out of the picture. You spoke to the secretary. She's downstairs in the office. Sorry. So it's just the tools. If you could walk out of here and have the tools with which to work on Bitochon, that's success. At least success for me. Whether or not you work on it is up to you. We finished the five hakdomos to Bitochon. There's still a lot to go in the perek, because he does a segue now. And the segue is not about Bitochon, so you could leave now if you're not interested. He explained the dynamic of Hishtadlus and Bitochon. He didn't explain every case that conceivably comes up, because it comes up 100 times a day. But he explained the ground rules. And he explained that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires Hishtadlus, because Chavis view, well, we call it Hishtadlus, he never uses that word. I'll call it Hishtadlus because that's the word we're all used to. Hishtadlus is not a heter, it's a chiyuv. When you have to do it, you're obligated to do it. You have to put bars on your windows, and if you have an infant in the house, a child, at least, you have to put bars on your windows, and you can't cross a busy highway, and some people would say you have to put on a seatbelt, I don't know, but you have to do it. And he said the reason is, he gave two reasons. One, it's that it's the playing field of Bechira. Because if you just sat back and Hashem did everything for you, you wouldn't have a life. The Bechira of life, choosing what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, is because you're doing Hishtadlus. So you have to be careful about Lashon Hara, you have to be careful about stealing, you have to be careful about giving an honest day's work, you have to be careful about Shabbos, you have to be careful about all the things that you have to be careful about, all the dinim, all the halachas. So that comes when you live life. And living life is, Chavis HaVav talks 95% of the time about earning money, because that is what most of our lives are consumed with. Okay, there's health, obviously. The same rules apply. So he talks about earning money, because that's, you know, for most people, that consumes certainly most of our lives. We should be lucky, Mitzvah Hashem, even health many times, certainly not always, unfortunately, but many times in our days, Hashem opened up the Mayonos HaChochma, and many times it becomes a question of money. But Al Kaponim, he talks about money. So he says, number one, that's the playing field of Bechira, and number two, Hashem wants you to stay out of trouble, and if you're idle, I-D-L-E, you get into trouble. And therefore, you're busy, and you don't have time to get into trouble. And now we pick up from a paragraph that starts with the Im Yomar HaOmer. This is after, really, the fifth Hakdama, and it's really a segue. And he says, Im Yomar HaOmer, should I find it? Is there a text that most people are using? The Im Yomar HaOmer, Hinei Anachnu Roa, Mitzvos Tzadikim, Lo Yizdamim Lahem Tirfa, Mela Achrei HaOmol VaHayagia, he says, logically, according to what I just said, so the more developed the person's bechira is l'tov, the less hishtadlus he should need, because he's already to some degree proven himself. So Hashem doesn't have to be tested so much on the playing field of bechira, and there's not so much of a chance that as he's idle, he'll get into trouble and do bad things. So logic would indicate, Chavizalovas asks on himself, according to my two reasons for Hishtadlus, then the bigger the tzaddik, you know, to say it that way, the less Hishtadlus he should be needing. And the further away a person is from Hashem, so he should have more, he should need more Hishtadlus. And we see it's not like that. There are tzaddikim that struggle, and again he talks about parnosim, that struggle to make ends meet. Doesn't have to be tzaddikim. I mean, good people struggle to make ends meet, and rishoyim or people that are not good people, they seem to have, they're wealthy and their money flows in and they know which stocks to buy and they seem to have a good life. Why is that happening? So, here's what Chazalovitz now does, and that's why I call it a segue. He was talking about bitachon and hishtadlus, and he gave reasons why Hashem wants us to do Hishtadlus, and he said logically, therefore, the bigger the tzaddik, the better the person, the more the Ovid Hashem you are, you should need less Hishtadlus, and conversely about the person that's not such a big Ovid Hashem, or worse, but we see it's not like that. So when he now embarks upon an answer, he expands the whole question into tzaddik v'ralo rasha v'tovlo. He discusses now, he gets into the major, one of the major philosophical and theological, one of the major philosophical and theological questions of Yiddishkeit. You know, if Hashem is kelamuna yoshar, why is tzaddik v'ralo rasha v'tovlo? Why do we see things that trouble us greatly, from people's personal problems to a Holocaust? Everything and anything. Life does not seem to reflect the way things should be. And this is an ancient question. If you know, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question. This is not something that some guy named Kusher wrote a book about, because he thought of, oh wow, I just thought of this question, like nobody thought of it till me, I am so great. Moshe Rabbeinu asks the question. And it's a troubling question. The Ramchal, Mrs. Noel, maybe we're going to learn Das Tfunos one day, after we finish our Bitochel. Maybe we're going to go away from Chavis HaLolos and learn Ramchal, and maybe we'll learn Das Tfunos. So, maybe. We'll see, you'll talk about it with the ladies. Ramchal talks so much about this, and this is a major troubling thing. So jumps, like you think someone be talking Hishtadlus. Why is it not? This is the question of tzaddik v'ralo. It's not like my system. The system I just constructed of Hishtadlus and Bitachon and why this Hishtadlus is broken down. It's a larger issue. It's the large issue of why babies die, of why people die, and why people are sick, and why good people are poor. It's that question. It really has nothing to do with Bitachon and Hishtadlus anymore. he puts it into the larger question of tzaddik v'ralo. If a tzaddik, the bigger the tzaddik, you would assume he needs less ishtadlus. But no, he struggles with things, and the Rosh Hashanah seems to have it easy. So, it's not a bitochen ishtadlus issue, that's why I call it a segue. He now goes and discusses the question of tzaddik v'ralo and Rosh Hashanah. His answers will be applicable to his question about bitochen and ishtadlus. He says, Nomar, first of all, don't pat yourself on the back that you just thought of this great question on Judaism. He doesn't even bring down Moshe Rabbeinu. He starts from Yirmiyahu, but it's well known, it's a Gemara in Brachas, that Moshe Rabbeinu was troubled by it, and Hashem said to him, this is what many before Hashem learn, V'ra'iso sachoroi, u'fanai lo yeirou. You know, we'll give all the answers in the world, it's not going to be satisfying. You're not going to ultimately understand it. This is something that's ultimately, at least every prat and figuring out is unknowable. The Ramchal's Lashon and Das Tvunos is, you could know the klalim, but you can't know the pratim. We can give general answers, and the Chagat HaLavos will proceed to give general answers, but like, okay, so which answer is applicable to this person at this point in time? We don't know. Without a Navi, we can't know, we don't know, and you can't match up the answers to a particular person. We can only give, and that's what the Ramchal says, we can know the klolim, not the pratim. It means you can know the general rules that will hopefully calm you down if you have trouble with Kelemuno ve'en ovel atzur tamim pa'olo Kelemuno ve'en ovel tzaddik v'yosher hu. So I'll give you explanations why tzaddik v'ralo and rosh v'tovlo, rational explanations. You will not be able to match it up to a particular case. You have to have emuna that kelemuna ve'en ovel tzaddik v'yosher hu. That's emuna. But the human mind, this is the Chavis HaLovis Shita, and the Ramchal Shita, and the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim Shita, that we can't tell a person, have faith. You know, there are Rishonim that hold like that. They don't hold like that. They hold the human mind is functioning. Hashem gave us a mind that thinks, that questions, that wants answers. It's really a basic theological machlokes if one should go into chakira or not, if one should struggle to understand. That's one of the reasons Ramchal was so controversial, because he put everything out on the table. We know, because of this great class, that the Chavis HaLovos, who preceded Ramchal by many centuries, says in his Hakdama, Chas V'Shalom, to think that you're Oved Hashem with every part of your body, but except for your mind. Your mind you have to turn off when you want to be a Jew, a believing Jew. That's absurd. It's illogical. Of course, saying it's illogical is a conundrum, because if you hold it doesn't have to be logical, then saying it's illogical doesn't prove anything, right? Okay, forget it. you can't prove that you have to be logical by saying that something's illogical, right? Because if you don't have to be logical, then you didn't say anything. But he does say it's illogical that you serve Hashem with your whole body, with your hands, with your feet, with your stomach, with your Evorim, but not with your mind. Your mind you have to turn off. He says it doesn't make any sense. And he has a slew of psukim. The Ramchal has a slew of psukim. The Chazadlis has a slew of psukim that prove that. But you're always going to bump up against an unknowable. Even Moshe Rabbeinu only understood 49 Sharei Bina, right? He stopped at the 50th. To know everything, I assume, would be to know Hashem. To understand Hashem completely, which is beyond human comprehension, probably by definition. If we would understand Hashem, we would be Hashem. It's always unknowable. Tanya would say, less machshava tfisa beklal. right? We can't fathom Hashem, so there's always be a part of it that's unknowable, although they push the envelope. The Ramchal, Chavis HaLavos, Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim push the envelope. And they say, you are mechuyev to understand as much as you can. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because if you get into that mode, and what do you mean? I have to understand. And then when you bump up against something you don't understand, there's a danger you'll reject. It's a very, very big danger. I just read a book, Chas V'Shalom, about someone that went off to Derech, wrote the book. And it's fascinating that that's exactly what happened to him. He was a Hasidish guy, and he had friends, and he went off to Derech, and he writes about it. It's an interesting book. Probably also to read. Don't read it. But here's what's fascinating. He said he had a friend who claimed, and continued to claim throughout the book, that from Judaism could be proven. Right, you go to a discovery class, and you go to this, and you go to that. And his reaction was, Taka, this tremendous danger, that he said, well, I could still ask questions, and it doesn't really completely answer all the questions, and then he felt free to reject it. I'm reading the book, and I'm saying, this is the sakana in this approach. It's a sakana with a samach. It's a kind of this approach. They obviously held, I don't know what they held, I mean, but they certainly all speak out that you have to take this approach, but you have to know that there's a point, you have to know, Ramchal's lesson is, Ad asher tasig yado, as much as, you have to understand as much as you can. But you have to know, as a believing Jew, that there will always be something you don't understand, because Hashem is unknowable. And then you have to have emunah. So the question is, like, what do you do till you get to that corner? So it's dangerous, and you have to carry along the emunah with you in order to embark upon this mahalach of understanding, of being rational, of asking questions and getting answers. If you're ready to say, I'm a human being. I mean, it's so arrogant, the truth is, to think we can understand everything, because the smarter a person is, and the more he knows about the physical world, talk to the big guys, the more they know that they don't even understand the physical world. They always bump up against something they don't know. So certainly in the metaphysical world, and certainly in the spiritual world, it's the height of arrogance to say, you know, I understand that I understand why you can't talk on the phone Shabbos, but I don't understand why you can't whatever, so that I'm not going to do. It's very, very arrogant for a human being, because I could turn to the guy and show him 100 other things that he doesn't understand that are just everyday life in the physical world he doesn't understand, and the bigger the scientist, the more they know that they don't understand. But it is dangerous. But they held that you have to do it, and you have to carry along the understanding that you won't understand everything, and Hashem is ultimately unknowable, and there are things Hashem does that are ultimately unknowable to the human mind. Okay, so we're learning Chavis Halvavis, and he is going to, so he says, listen, first of all, don't be so full of yourself. This question is a couple of thousand years old. You didn't just think of it. So he starts with Yirmiyo, and he says, Mehem bisha omar madua derech rishom solcha. V'amah ha'acher en chavako glomot tirani oven v'amol tabit v'shod v'chomos l'negdi v'hi riv v'mudon yisa. V'amar en chavako ki rosh ha-machter v'satzadik. V'yomar en chavako tachrish b'vloa rosh ha-tzadik mimenu. V'yomar acher en tehillu min ha'ele rishon v'shal v'olam hizku choyel. V'amar achrak zikisi divavli v'achos v'rekayon kapoi bot v'ohino goa kalyom. V'sachachti labu korim. V'yomar acher al pi anshe doro gam bochnu elokim v'yimoleitu. V'arbe kuzeh. So the questions are there in the early Nevi'im, and I'm adding to that, Moshe Rabbeinu asks it. Achiniach ha-Novi b'tshuva, ha-tshuva b'bir ilis zeh, the Novi does not answer it. Why doesn't the Novi answer it? Because there's no one size fits all. So no one size fits all. So there is no single answer that's going to cover everything. So the Navi just said, we realize this problem exists, and it's a problem. But he doesn't offer answers. The reason for every test, he calls it here, that a tzaddik has, every reason is different. There's no universal answer, there's no objective answer. Every tzaddik who's suffering and having a difficult time, it might be a different answer. And that is what the Pasuk in Chumash says, Anistaros Lashem Elokeinu. Some things will always be hidden, and they will belong in the realm of Hashem. Vaniglos Lonu Ulvanenu. Vamar Achacham Bedomalazeh Im Oshek in Pasuk in Koheles. Im Oshek, the oppression of Rosh, Vegezel Mishpot, Vatzadik Tiriba Medina, Al Tisma Alachethetz, Vamar Akosel Atzurutom Im Polo, Yecholder Achav Mishpot. So you're not getting answers. Imkolzeh. Nevertheless, I think I have to explain a little. That's what he says. And what is he doing here? He's not smarter than the Navim. He's saying there's no universal answer, so they left it as a question. He is also saying, I'm only going to give you general possible answers. I'm not going to tell you which answer fits which case, but I would imagine the Chavis Halvadas held, as the Ramchal did a few centuries later, and probably, well, you know, as civilization developed, people, you know, when people worshipped Avodah Zarah, there was more belief in the world than there is today. It's poshut. Worshipping Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah, but you believe in a higher power, and you feel helpless, and the higher power, and you try to appease it, you bring in sacrifices, whatever, but your belief, it's, atheism is much worse. The atheism that hit the world in the last, two, three centuries, let's say from Freud and Darwin, and Marx, and now, you know, now some people still pay lip service, they go to church, you know. But the world is basically an atheistic world, and everything is like there's not, you know. So the world wants to understand. The world became more technologically, and so the world wants rational answers. So maybe I don't know. This is my own suggestion. Now, with the Doros, they felt that it's necessary to be rational. It's very few, maybe in the Hasidic circles, even have the Baal Shem Tov, right, you know, put back on a pedestal Emunah Pshuta, but the Baal HaTanya, right, he wrote the Tanya, which is anything but Emunah Pshuta, right, anything but. So it takes Kabbalistic concepts and Hashkafas, and it makes a whole system out of it, as like a physics book. Mamish, that's what it is, and that's what Ramchal did. So Chavis Halavas is early, many centuries before, but there was a histapchus of science in his days as well. And I'm just speculating why he felt he has to give you something to hang on to. He felt, even though there's a famous understanding of the expulsion from Spain, that those who were more philosophical minded and rationalists, rational Judaism, were the ones that were not Omid ben Isayon, and the plain people with Emunah Pshuta were Omid ben Isayon and left and got expelled from Spain. That's what it says in the Svarim. So I guess it's true. So that was in the late 1400s, early 1500s. But the human mind keeps pushing it once to understand with all of the difficulties involved. So the Chavis Halavas, which we're talking back in the 1100s, 1000, 1100, so he wants to, Vim Kolzeh, the Nevi'im don't say anything. Certainly there's no one answer to everything. That's what he said. The Nevi'im didn't talk about it because There's no one size fits all. So everybody would have a different reason. And they're not going to sit there and give you a list of reasons. That's not what they came to do. But I am going to explain it, Mashayibo Ma'ataspoka, to give you a little satisfaction. You will calm down. You won't, you'll hear that there are rational, logical reasons for Rosh Avotovlo, Tzadik V'Ralo. And again, Omar and I will say, ki haponim, the reasons, asher ba'avurim timna mehat tzadik hizdamnus tirfo, because that's really what he's talking about, why the tzadik is poverty stricken, why he doesn't have, he has to do so much ishtadlus just to make ends meet, when logically, Chagalovitz is bothered by this, not even from a theological standpoint, why the tzadik, it's interesting, like, he's not bothered by why the tzadik is suffering. He came on to, he launched this whole line of thought, not because he was bothered by why a tzaddik is suffering, but because he wants to protect his construction of bitachon and ishtadlus. So he says, but according to that, then logically, the tzaddik would need less ishtadlus, and the rasha would need more, and it's not like that. So am I wrong? So he's saying, I'm not wrong. That's correct, and we've entered into a larger issue of Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh Avotovlo. It's not a localized question about Hishtadlus, it's the general question of Rosh Avotovlo and Tzadik V'Ralo. That's what he has done here. He made this local Shiloh, which attacked his way of looking at Bitochen and Hishtadlus, and he made it into a more general issue. So that's why he says, so I'm going to explain to you why a tzaddik wouldn't have parnosa. That's what he's talking about. Achi yitra cholav, and he has to put in a lot of work and he has to struggle for yifchon bo. So now he gives around 6 or 7 reasons. We'll go through it quickly. This is a subject in itself, to say the least. It's a major subject and it's unsatisfying, and he's warned us it's unsatisfying. The Nevi'im didn't give an answer. The answer. There's no the answer. The answer is unknowable. Because why, as the Ramchal says, same Mahalach, I'll give you reasons, but you will never know why it happened in each particular case. But you'll be calm. You need this to hang on to maintain your emuna. Maybe you don't. There are still people nowadays, I believe in Hashem, and I believe Hashem is Yashar. And I'm not asking questions. Not always do the answers fit. Sometimes the events are so horrible that a believing Jew, Badavka, shuts down his mind and just says, I believe in Hashem, and Hashem is good, or Hashem is Yashar, even if he can't get the word good out of his mouth or her mouth, but he could say Yashar, he's fair, he's just. That's less than good, right? That's saying less than good. It's fair. So, he's able to say it. My brother-in-law and sister were sitting Shiva for their oldest daughter that tragically was killed in an accident. She was married. Her and her husband were tragically killed in an accident. So my brother-in-law sat the whole Shiva as if he was in a, at the time I thought he was just traumatized. Afterwards I realized that he had gotten advice from a gadol, and he just sat there the whole shiva, and I'm not exaggerating, he just kept saying, let me ask questions, Hashem nosam, Hashem lokach, and that's all he said. It was really spooky, it was scary. I thought he lost his mind out of grief. But no, this was what he was told to do, and he did it. And this is what he did. So he didn't, sit there trying to figure out why it happened. Ad hayom. They're not, figuring out, what could it possibly be the reason such a beautiful young couple, such Ovdei Hashem, why would such a thing happen? Hashem did it, and we believe in Hashem and Zehu. So sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you have to do that. That's how many people deal with the Holocaust. Some people, anytime a child dies, anytime an infant dies, something that's lack to derech ha'olam, or someone Nifta young, you know, just Rav Pinkus comes to mind, like such a tragic death of someone who was so good and such a Marbitz Torah and influenced so many people. Like, why was he snatched away? Arya Kaplan comes to mind. Like, I mean, fortunately, there's a lot of people you think about. So you don't know. So the mind shuts down in a klami. But Chavi Havlovus, I don't know. Some say his reasons, you know, they don't always work. He knows that. It's tough, you know. Every person has to deal with it the way they feel best equipped to deal with it. Sometimes the best way is just saying, well, maybe years later you see the good. The good is already a matana from Shemayim if you end up seeing the good. But you, tzaddik v'yasher, you have to say, you know, at the Beis Olam, you have to say Asur Tomim Polo, that's Sidur Kadin. You have to struggle for that. So, you know, at that point you're best off just being a believing Jew. But sometimes that's too hard, and sometimes thinking of cheshbonus, why it's yosher, is too hard. It can be different situations, different people, different thoughts speak to different people differently. Could be like al hayom, the litvisha olam will be more comfortable with trying to understand it, with being told that, you know, the things that the Chavis HaLavos are going to learn now. We're going to learn now the six or seven reasons, cheshbonus, why we would see tzaddik v'ra'lo, which is really the human suffering. You know, why do people suffer? Why do good people suffer? I can't recommend highly enough, I've recommended it many times, Rabbi Kirzner's tapes on suffering, which he gave these lectures when he knew that he had a form of cancer, that it was just a question of time when he would be leaving us. That's another person that was nifta so young and had an influence on so many people. And you hear him coughing while he's giving the shiurim. It's very, very spooky. You hear him coughing, and you know that doesn't sound like a good cough. And he gave the shiurim. Yonason Rosenblum wrote it as a book, Making Sense of Suffering, and it's basically a transcript of the tapes. As good as the book is, tapes are 100 times better. To listen to him say it and to hear him cough is like very emotional. Especially, I mean, now we know why he was coughing. I don't know if the people that were listening to him understood why he was coughing so much. Akaponim, I guess you say whatever works for you. But the Chavis HaLavos is now going to embark on probably like the reasons. I think everybody in this room is familiar with some of the reasons. I'll go over it quickly. First of all, how do you know the person's a tzaddik? Everybody has a pekel averus. Could be he's being punished. You don't know. Efshar sheyeh avon shekadem lo. Is chayiv lipar mimenu olav. Everybody gets punished, and just thank Hashem that you're getting punished in olam hazeh rather than in olam haba. So we are blithely saying tzaddik v'ra'lo. I don't know if he's a tzaddik or not. Like, how do I know? Could be he's not. So that's number one. And even if he is a tzaddik, but of course in tzaddik baruch she has a tovah lo yechta, so he's getting punished in this world. K'mo shenemar, hein tzaddik baruch yishulam. And that's really okay. The first one is it's a punishment, and the second reason is really the yeshiyi al derech hatzmura b'olam haba, that the punishment is really a tovah to have schar and olam haba. K'mo shekotov v'hitivcha b'achrisecha. That's why sometimes people suffer. Whether it's because they're getting, here it probably means they're getting their punishment in olam hazeh rather than in olam haba. The next reason is the idea that it's what we would call maybe yisurin shel ahava, and he's overcoming the nisayon. Just as the Michtam Eliyahu writes, it's not in the Michtam Eliyahu, it's brought down Bishmo, that the Kiddush Hashem of people dying al Kiddush Hashem. You know, the good old Kiddush Hashem is do avodah zorah or I'll shoot you. That's easy. But now we talk about any time a Jew is killed for being a Jew, that's Kiddush Hashem. So it's not so clear where the Kiddush Hashem is. There's different ways of looking at it. Why is Kiddush Hashem? As I always say, if you ask me, it's a Chil Hashem. Where's the Kiddush Hashem? But so the Mechtam Eliyahu's approach is that the Kiddush Hashem is we make the Kiddush Hashem by remaining steadfast in our Amunah. That's the Kiddush Hashem, that the Jew remains steadfast in his Amunah, even if things happen which are very troubling and very painful. That's the Kiddush Hashem, and that is indeed an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem, but it's within us, and that's the hardest Kiddush Hashem to have. And he says in Yemos HaMashiach or Chevelei Mashiach, that's going to be the Nisayon that people will have, maintaining that Amunah. So, but any time a tzaddik suffers, it might be a nisayon. That's what he's saying. It might be a nisayon. So, and the nisayon is to get muschar. He gets muschar in olam habo. V'yeshiyir laharo sivlo lasbaroso hatola bavodus aboregi kdeshiul munu bnei adam imenu. That's the twist he gives here. He becomes a role model. Kamo sheyodata mi'inyan iov. He now becomes a role model, and it's a big schus. In other words, it's not deserved, per se, but he gains out of the deal, because he becomes a role model for others. People see maintenance of emunah, maintenance of bitochen, of emunah, of belief in Hashem, of belief that Hashem is yosher, maybe even that Hashem is tov, and that's a tremendous schus. Mazakis harabim, so that's a good thing. So it's a person gets told on my bar and finds out that because they were sick for a couple of years, but they pushed through and they didn't have tainus, they didn't complain, they're like in a whole different palace in Olam Abba. Then you thank Hashem, right? Then you really, Otcha Hashem ki anaftavi, David HaMelech says. You thank Hashem. Thank you for giving me these Yisurim. It could be because it's a kapara for Averis, and I don't want to be, the Gemara says, for a little tsar in Olam Hazeh takes care of a lot of tsar in Olam Abba, or it's a schus, and you are in a higher madrega of Avodas Hashem, especially if you're a role model for others. So then, when you find that out, and it becomes clear, the whole picture, you want to go back down and suffer some more. You do. You say, wow, for a little suffering in an olam that's over, and an olam that things are essentially meaningless, look what, olam abo, we know. So you say, can I go back down and suffer some more? That's what we'll say. So that's, okay, so that's number three. V'yei sheyia l'rosho anshei doro. Again, this is if the people of the door are reshom, v'yivchenei abor yisala ba'oni, u'bereish u'v'chaloem, l'haros chasidusa v'avodoso l'elokimi baladehem. So ultimately people will see how Hashem is just. Maybe the ultimately, now it creates theological problems. But in Nitzchias, Hashem shows, the famous Gemara, that the Goyim are going to come and say we could do Torah too, and he gives them the mitzvah of Sukkah. Hashem works things out that at the end of the day everybody's moda that Hatzur Tomim Pa'alo Kelamun Ve'inov Al Tzadik V'yosher Hu. Even the Rishoyim. The Rishoyim admit that they're Rishoyim and they accept their punishment and they say Pemole, this is what's written in Sfarim, that they deserve it. They were Rishoyim. So sometimes Hashem will make the tzaddik suffer to be able to show the Rasha that contrast between the Rasha and the tzaddik. And the Rasha will say, oh man, I had such a hard life, and I had to work on Shabbos, or I had to steal, or I had to cut corners. I was an oinus, and Hashem, okay, it's true, Hashem doesn't need any proof, but this is how Hashem works. He says, look at that guy over there. That person was poorer than you are, and had more nesionis than you are, and he, this is what the Gemara says about Hillel. Hillel mechayev v'sa'aniyim. That's the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer mechayev v'sa'ashirim, Hillel mechayev v'sa'aniyim. Yosef HaTzadik is mechayev, people who have drives and desires, right? And they squash them. So this is what the Gemara says. Anani's gonna say, like, I didn't have time to learn. I couldn't, I'm chasing Parnas. He said, look at Hillel. Hillel managed, he worked his money, he earned enough money for one day, for 2 days, or, however it works in your lifestyle. And then he went to the Beis Medrash to learn. Like, well, you have no excuse, look. And then there'll be an admission that it's Kilimuna Veinovel. For some reason, you can ask why does Hashem need, Hashem doesn't need to prove anything, right? But he apparently likes to. He wants everybody to be mode that Kilimuna Veinovel Tzadik V'Yosher Hu. So sometimes he does it so that the Russia will see the contrast. That's reason number four. Reason number three was to be a role model for others. Reason number one was a punishment. Reason number two was to increase his schar in olam haba, because it's an nesayon, and he's on a higher madrega if he withstands the nesayon. Reason number three was to be a role model for others, and that's a tremendous chus. It's sort of reason number three. Hashem's not going to make you suffer to be a role model for others. It means, in being a role model for others, that will increase your schusim. And therefore, ultimately, it's to your benefit. Reason number four was that Rishoyim will see the contrast, and they will have to admit that that's reason number four. Reason number five is, this is an amazing reason. He says something, it's also the gather of a punishment, but it's a punishment for something we would barely consider an avera. V'yeshiyim neshe'enu mekali lelokim l'kachas adin me'anshe doro. He says, you're not giving musa to people. You're not teaching people what you have to share with them. You see people doing wrong and you're quiet. You think, shalom alai nafshi, as long as I'm good, I don't have to deal with others. This is a difficult thing. When, where, how, or you, to what degree do you have to be good yourself to start giving other people musa? Doesn't mean musa, doesn't mean teaching. Whatever it is, but he says it could be a punishment for something that we don't even consider a sin, meaning to be mekanei lelokim. It doesn't have to be nekanoi like Pinchas that goes around killing people. It means you care that there are people that don't know of Hashem, and you take steps to be mesakein that. You care about that. And that's something that is an avera, or it's worthy of punishment. And that's why Eli Ubonov got punished. Chofni and Pinchas. Chofni was punished because he was not moche in Pinchas. That's the Gemara in Shabbos says. They did something wrong, but the Gemara speaks out that Pinchas was not chote, Chofni was chote, but Pinchas was not moche, and that's the whole sugyan Shabbos, that people are punished. Al shahoyu lahem limchos v'lo michu, they stood quiet, and they didn't make a macha. Now, a macha means to protest, to say this is wrong, what you're doing is wrong. Or that's one idea. Another idea is to teach people who don't know, what we call kiruv. Sometimes the tzaddik is just self-satisfied and doesn't care enough about what's going on around him, and it's chilul Hashem. Hashem's kavod is minimized. So many people don't recognize him. So sometimes it's a punishment for that. Okay, that's it. Those five reasons are reasons of tzaddik v'ralo, and now we'll pick up next time. We'll be there next Sunday on Rosh Hashanah.